In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. Perhaps you have seen the image. The background is a shimmering aqua blue. And across it is written an invitation in paint brush strokes of white. It calls out and says, "Stay salty." Seeing that invitation, I am cast back into time and memory, memories of the weeks on a sailboat, a time when I was literally salty. My memory can just barely pick up the creaking of the boat, and I can feel the sea spray on my cheeks. All these years later, I can summon the sensation of warmth on my back, and I can hear my unkempt sailboat hair blowing around in the wind. Stay Salty makes me think of fictional pirates, the pirates of movies and novels who live freely and truthfully and bravely, people unbound by convention or responsibility or cold weather, lucky them. Stay Salty sounds like living the life that Jimmy Buffett songs suggest. Out on the sea for adventure, tiki drinks and veggie burgers in paradise. Stay Salty feels like heaven right now. It's a bit strange that salt did not find itself with a prominent place in the sacraments of the Christian practices. Salt did have an important place in ancient Jewish rituals, both rituals in home and rituals in temple. They were rituals that were focused on fidelity and on sacrifice, both of which were important themes for the early Jesus movement. And salt does seem rather magical. The way it changes the suspension strength of water, and we float. The way when you put a few grains on a hot dish, it spreads all the way through. Salt, which preserves meat without refrigeration, and also melts ice to make pathways safer. Like grain and wine and water and oil, salt is a basic necessity for life. And like light and water, there would not be life on Earth without it. It courses through our veins and it rests in our tissues. Salt flows out of us in our sweat and in our tears. Salt is every day and ever present, of priceless value, but also dangerous if not well used. Salt is in our sacramental practices, but it's very subtle. Salt is in the recipe for baking bread, and in some traditions, it is included in the waters of baptism. Just enough to offer a taste, to offer a hint of the sea of reeds through which the ancient Israelites passed out of slavery and into freedom. Taste is crucial. Taste memory is survival memory. It's not just an idea or a pleasure, it is the difference between life and death. In our primordial days, we relied on taste to help us choose between safe and dangerous. We used the memory of taste to relocate those places where we found food in the past. The Gospel of Matthew evokes all the senses of survival memory, taste and sight and sound. The text is shaped and shared, expecting a community of disciples, expecting people who take it in deeply like food. Just as if remembering, putting it back together, remembering Jesus is what they need to survive. We, like Matthew's community, are people who break bread together. And in Jesus's time, interestingly enough, the expression was to share salt. Food is still our ritual of bonding, the practice in which we are bound to our companions in deep and mysterious and life-giving ways. Most of us experience holiness not as outrageous drama, but as experiences as common as passing the salt and pepper. It's in the laughter of a child, in the smack of kisses or the sound of sobs. It's in moments of fear and flickers of serenity, or when we forgive someone who has broken our heart. Most people don't seem to experience God only in the moments that get labeled as spiritual or religious. Sometimes we who are the chefs and the cooks of the religious, sometimes we do manage to invite the holy to happen. Most of the time, however, we are just hopeful hosts and prayerful waiters. In my experience, most of the holy moments in a religious place like this are actually very earthy, very human moments. They are very salty. I have to confess that I am so tired of the cold and the snow and the ice. And I'm leaning pretty hard into my salty memories and ocean daydreams. I must tell you that I am also anxious and feeling lost in what seems to be the utter failure of compassion and a breakdown in our commitment to the common good. In this sea of disorientation, Jesus steers me and whispers, "Stay salty. I am here. I am here with you in this everyday strangeness, the strangeness of being bound to neighbors that I cannot fix, that I cannot leave behind, and I cannot ignore." Following Jesus as Lord is choosing a vulnerable God, choosing one who chooses our substance as dissolvable and crushable as it is. The call to embrace Christ crucified isn't about inflicting pain, but it is a call to surrender ever more of our lives to the mystery of God. The mystery of our union in Christ is no less of a mystery because it is revealed in things no more complicated than grain and wine and salt and water. I cannot explain how these moments taste and feel of divine grace. I only know that they do. Maybe salt is a metaphor for the divine. in that salt is everywhere, whether we notice it or not, and that this world and its creatures are ceaselessly held by God, from the salty depths of the earth to the salty streams of our tears. Nothing, nothing in Jesus' teaching is not also what he lives. Sacrifice, loyalty, correction, compassion. He says, take the lower seat, and he does. He tells us to welcome the orphan, the outcast, and the stranger, and he does. So what can we know from Jesus' life, death, and resurrection about what it means to be salt? What can we know about what it means to stay salty? What can we know about this community? What can we know it should taste like by saying we should be salt? Salt, once it's dissolved, is uncontainable. That delightful pineapple we had on the boat, it made my eyes light up. I was so excited. I went back down and I got more and I brought it up to share it with my friends. That addictively good cold brew coffee they sell at one shop in San Francisco, I arranged the mission trip schedule around it so that we could stand in the long line. And we bonded while we did that and waited to receive it. And then there was this sandwich, a sandwich at a shop that could only have been made with the deepest magics, a sandwich at a shop that burned down 10 years ago, and I'm still talking about that sandwich, and occasionally Googling to see if anyone has confessed the recipe. Salt doesn't need to talk about itself, but disciples like us who are trying to be salty could be better at sharing out loud the flavors of faith that rescue and excite us. Learning to be salty may be learning to share those everyday memories where we knew that we were held by God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Learning to be salty may be living out loud the holy transformation that we taste. Matthew's gospel expects that we are salty, that we are informed and imaginative and devoted and active lovers of God. It expects us to be gourmets of the good news, collectors and sharers and practitioners of this precious Jesus movement. Now, none of us are refined salt, yet all of us are raw salts, mixed with the minerals of our lives and the sea things of our hearts. And it's exactly this that gives us our unique flavor. God's reign isn't known by its purity, but by its ever-presentness. God's reign is known by its unconventionality, by its liberation, and by its commitment to each other. Eugene Peterson, the pastor and author of the Bible paraphrase called The Message, he puts the start of today's passage this way. Let me tell you why you are here. You're here to be salt seasoning. Salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? Jesus never teaches us to be in a way that he does not live out himself. Jesus was salt for the well-being of the world, and he calls to us saying, "Stay salty." My salty may be a little more sassy than some of your salties, but I need your salty at the table too. Will you wonder with me? I forgot something. In the back, there is salt. Little grains of Himalayan salt that taste like the Himalayan mountains. And as you're leaving today, I invite you to stop and take a single grain, and if your doctors will allow it, to taste that grain. Let it sit with you as you walk out into the door, out of our doors, wondering how you can be salty, salt seasoning for this neighborhood and this world. So will you wonder with me? Wonder how we can be as he says we are, saying, we are here to be salt seasoning. We are here to be salt seasoning. We are here to bring out. We are here to bring out. We are here to bring out the God flavors of this earth. We are here to bring out the God flavors of this earth. Amen.